Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Hey, I welcome you out again this week. For a quick reminder, check out our website, MoneyRipples.com, especially if you want to check out that free ebook we have on there. Also, if you guys have an interest, next month I have just a few seats available for an event I'm doing at my home here in Utah. It's just a day and a half, September 14th and 15th. Would love to see you there. And so if you're the type of person that says, hey, I want to take this to the next level, I want to actually start applying this to see how this works, reach out to me, Chris@MoneyRipples.com. Also, as another favor to you guys, and for me, it's actually benefiting for both of us. I would love, if you've got topics or questions that you would love to hear more about, whether it's about money, business, whatever it might be, if you say, hey, Chris, I would love if you would address this item, whether it be current events or otherwise, let me know. So shoot me an email to that same address, Chris@MoneyRipples.com. So today I want to address something that I'm starting to see happening, and I'll just be blunt about it. I think we, especially those of us that are listening, I know there's worldwide, there's many of you listening out there, but I know a good chunk of you are Americans. And I just got to say, as us as Americans, we're kind of a spoiled, rotten bunch, aren't we? You know, and I've been thinking about this because, you know, lately in the last few weeks or so, I've had a few people, and I'll be flat out up front, a few of them have been clients of mine even, that have said, hey, Chris, that deal didn't go as well as I'd hoped it would. You know, hey, Chris, you know, you introduced me to that company that does real estate, or hey, Chris, you introduced me to that fund or whatever it might be. You know, like when I decided to do stuff with them, it didn't turn out as well as they told me it would. It's like, okay, well, that's a legitimate concern. And so the likelihood is they might not be listening to this show. So obviously this may be preaching to the choir for a few of you. But for a lot of you, I think this is a really important show because there's a big principle out there, huge principle that if you want true financial freedom, you can never have financial freedom without responsibility. You cannot have personal freedom without personal responsibility. What does that mean? What it means is you have to own up to every decision you make. You have to take control and take charge and be willing to fess up. And I'm not saying misfortune happens from here time to time. And by the way, these things aren't huge misfortunes. These are like little minor setbacks. Like, you know, the rate of returns weren't as good as they hoped it would be, even though the returns are still better than what the stock market's done over the last year. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about here is that, you know, sometimes we get caught up. Sometimes we get caught in this little trap that we feel like it's not our fault. We play the blame game. And I'm not saying they're necessarily blaming me. I mean, obviously they were not happy about, you know, some of the things going on with their investments, and definitely I was the one that helped connect them to some of those resources, you know, with those, some of those people that do that stuff. But you know, the thing is they weren't losing money, you know. And I've actually had clients that have lost money in different things, you know, not necessarily always things I introduce them to, but things that they've done that they've asked my advice on, and it's like, okay, we've done our due diligence, it looks good. And then despite the due diligence, guess what? Crap happens. And sometimes it's like a temporary setback. And sometimes it's like I've had people in the past have lost all their money. You know, like clients have lost all their money. You know, one of them, for example, was a client of mine where he was out in Boston and he put money in different places. We got him in some secure locations. But you know what? Like he kept $250,000 with his old financial advisor, the guy that the base guy is like, I mean, I'm sure he's a good family friend since the 80s and stuff. And sounds like he's a nice guy. You do whatever you want, which by the way, that's my answer for just about anybody who's trying to do an investment. It's, hey, it's up to you. You do what you feel is right. And so he did. And he kept $250,000 with this guy. And a few years later, we went out to dinner when he came to visit me in Salt Lake City. And he came up, we went out to dinner. He said, Chris, guess what? All the things you did, awesome. Like, I remember just in the first year, you know, my net worth grew by $100,000. He's like, which is pretty impressive considering, you know, I don't make that much over $100,000 a year. He's like, but guess what? That $250,000 I left that advisor, well, he ran off with it. He embezzled it. You know, and here's what I love that he did. He's like, but you know what, Chris? Doesn't matter. Like, it's $250,000. Yeah, I would love to have the money back. It did definitely make a dent in my finances for sure. He's like, but I'm not worried because I know the rest of my money is good. And I love that attitude because, I mean, he's the kind of guy, and I've noticed this, especially those that are business owners. Those are entrepreneurs, business owner of that mindset. They tend to take better ownership of whatever happens. Good or bad, they claim it. They claim it as being, you know, their doing, right? By the way, if you want to claim the good, you got to claim the bad. You know, I saw this during the, you know, the Y2K when I first became a financial advisor. I would inherit people's accounts because advisors had dropped off, especially during Y2K. A lot of advisors quit. They couldn't handle the pressure of that period of time. And I would take over their mutual funds and such, you know, and those people were like, it was amazing how many people were like, oh, I hope that advisor's dead. You know, they were just like, really, they hated those advisors. And they were so much caught up in that victim mentality, like it was ever like the advisor's fault. And I'm not saying the advisor didn't hook them up, you know, and didn't connect them with those things, but ultimately they made the decision. It was all them. And it was only like the very few percentage of those kind of clients, or at least, right? A very few percentage actually said, you know what? I took the risks. I knew it was coming. Oh, well, you know, and, you know, I got to do this. And it's funny because during that period of time when the market started going well, right, those same people were claiming that they're awesome. So like, oh yeah, I'm doing great. Like I'm making money. But when they lost money, it's like, no, my advisor lost my money, you know? And by the way, you might've been caught saying something just like this, because the truth is we all have, right? We've all been acting like victims and playing the blame game, you know, at some point in our lives, or and maybe even currently today, you could have been a victim, you know, you might've said something that was kind of a victim blame mentality to your spouse or to your kids, or you might've said about your work or your daily life. You know, you might have said about with your health or whatever it might be, or traffic that got in the way and made you late today, right? All that kind of stuff. It comes from the same thing. And guess what? You imprison yourself whenever you're in this kind of place. When you put yourself in a headspace where you believe that things that happen bad to you, it's not your fault, right? Now I get this because I know some of you are thinking this right now. They're like, Chris, like some things are not my fault. You're right. There's two extremes of thought on this sometimes. You get the people that say, hey, law of attraction, we attract everything in our lives, good, bad, and ugly. And then there's other people says, hey, it's purely chance. There's nothing out there. I'm going to tell you, I kind of fall in the middle of that spectrum. You know, I definitely believe in law of attraction. I lean more towards that. But I'll tell you, you don't attract everything in your life. Some junk just happens to you in life. Some things just happen. Some misfortunes just happen. The real test of your character, the real test of whether you can be free or not, is going to be whether you decide to choose that attitude in that moment. Are you going to take the attitude of a victim? Or are you going to be the attitude of a hero, which is someone who takes ownership of it, good, bad, or whatever. Even if it's not your fault, great, just accept that, hey, this is what's going on. How can I make the best of this? And by the way, when it comes down to money or business and things like this, or investments and things like that, and I'm bringing this up because, you know, the last few years or so, it seems like everything's been awesome with money, right, and investing. You know, the market, for the most part, hasn't lost money. I mean, like, it's gone up and down, but it's been pretty flat this year so far. And that's been the worst it's been since 2015 when it was also flat. Like, it went up and then it went down, right? And so we haven't seen a down year in the stock market for a while. So people are starting to get to become spoiled idiots, basically, right? You know, where emotionally we forget even what happened just 10 years ago. And we start thinking, hey, nothing gonna go wrong. It's perfect. You know what? The market's been awesome. It blows my mind when people tell me like, well, Chris, like the market's been really good to me. Like, I don't doubt it's been good the last decade. And these are the same people that just 20 years ago, like saying, hey, I haven't made, you know, or even 10 years ago, they're saying, I haven't made any more money in the last 10 to 15 years, right? And they've seen the ups and the downs, but then they still forget. And this is just human nature. People tend to forget what happened longer term. People tend to remember most recent history. So in people's minds, they're thinking, hey, the market always goes up. Just like people used to believe up until the mid-2000s that the real estate market always goes up, which it doesn't. You know, now, for the most part, it has. But there's been times when it hasn't. And so people get caught up in this little game, this little head game, thinking that everything should be perfect, that everything should be like the Midas touch. And a lot of times just expectations. You know, I like to expect the best but prepare for the worst. That's kind of my own mantra. And I believe even Zig Ziglar added something like profit in between or something like that, right? You know, expect the best, prepare for the worst, and then profit in the middle. And I'll tell you, when it comes to things like investments, you know, you just got to expect there's going to be some things that you just don't expect that could go wrong. Always. In fact, I will tell you this. The better the return, the more likely this is going to happen. This doesn't mean it's higher risk. It just means that there's more likely to be little hiccups that you're going to have to deal with, little nuisances. Because if you're getting paid the highest return, it's probably because you don't have a bunch of middlemen in between. You see, because, you know, maybe you've invested in different funds. Like, you know, for example, some of you might have done things with American Homeowners Preservation before, right? Now, they just pay you like clockwork, whether they've paid you paid you monthly, whatever return it's been, right? And now that seems all awesome, but you don't know what's going on the back scenes. You don't know what kind of stresses they're dealing with. And that's part of the attraction to it, right? But just know, whether you're getting paid like, you know, whether it be like 10%, 12%, whatever it might be that you're getting paid on that kind of thing. The thing is that they're making way more. They're making better returns than you are. That's why they pay you whatever returns they'll pay you. And by the way, that's even no guarantee. They can tell you, hey, we could stop paying you at any time. You know, if we can't pay you, we can't pay you. And it's possible in those kind of things, you could lose all your money. And that's things that you don't even have to deal with headaches. Now, if you're in the realm of business, you know, with business, when you're dealing with business type of stuff, there's always hiccups, right? There's always something going on. It doesn't mean that it has to be bad. It doesn't mean that your world's going to be over like it's high, super highs and super lows. I'm not saying that, although some of you might have experienced that too. But you realize that there's an ebb and flow, right? There's a rhythm. You know, there's better times and there's not so good times. And just like with investing, if you do investment like real estate, say you own the property, not just throwing into a fund that invests in real estate, but you actually own the properties. By the way, some of the people that I've heard complaints from recently, that's what's happened. They thought they were going to get a certain return, then interest rates were higher, or the insurance costs were higher than they expected, or something happened, or property manager ends up crapping out on them and not doing a good job. Yeah, that stuff can happen. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly of investing right there. So what? The real question is what's going to happen? Because I'll tell you, from my own experience, and this is what happens when I have hiccups, and I've had plenty of hiccups, right? You know, I've learned that things tend to work out in the end. Because when one thing goes wrong, usually there's something else to counteract it. You know, I love a story that Donald Trump said in one of his books. I think the book was called Never Give Up. Now, I've referred to this book before. I don't like to refer to Trump a whole lot lately just because of political stuff. But, you know, he had some really good stories. And one of them was when he bought the old Chicago Sun-Times building in Chicago. And this is, you know, old, you know, newspaper type building. It was a pretty big thing. He's going to turn it into a Trump building. They did their due diligence. They did all their homework they could do. They expected certain costs. And this is like, I mean, multi-hundred millions of dollars, if not into the billions, these kind of projects he works on, right? I mean, the stuff that we work on is just peanuts compared to what he's dealt with, right? So anyways, they were looking at the base foundations underneath, like the parking garage and everything else. They've got all their support beams and things like that. As they're looking down there, they're realizing, hey, we got an issue because the lake is right here. It's below the water tables. There's leaks. We got to spend, I think it was like $30 million more than over budget on like water pumps and systems to be able to help keep water from flooding their building, right? So they had to set up new things to help keep water out. So $30 million over budget. $30 million. You know, I get people that whine sometimes that they have an investment property that doesn't pay them for 2 months because they don't have renters or property management issues and things like that. $30 million, guys. Now, the big point he was trying to make with this, he's like, okay, you know, sometimes unexpected things happen. We got to deal with it. How do we choose a better attitude? He always would try to hold on to the most optimistic thing. If you've noticed, he's kind of an optimist, even to the point that you think this guy's on crack, right? So anyways, so he's like, all right, well, that's what we got to do. I don't like it. He was kind of ticked, but he just knew that he had to move forward. Well, guess what? Well, there was other things they were dealing with too, other costs they're expecting. One of which was actually dealing with the ink. So all the ink that the newspapers use and all the waste and everything else, it's very common for, especially with old newspaper companies, it's very common to have a lot of environmental cleanup with it. And so they're already budgeting a ton of environmental cleanup with all the ink and stuff that was used, these papers. Well, when they went to actually deal with the situation, assess it, they realized that the ink, they used a different type of ink that actually wasn't an issue. It was, I think it was, I don't want to say it's biodegradable, but basically it was more environmentally friendly. That it actually saved them tens of millions of dollars, almost the same amount as what it cost them to deal with the water issue. So that's what my point is. This is that, guys, things can turn around. You know, if you got little hiccups, things that you don't expect, you know, hey, that's going to happen. And I'll tell you, the more control you try to take over your life, the more freedom you're going for, not for security, but for freedom, this is going to happen. It's guaranteed to happen. By the way, security is complete opposition to freedom. And this is why I'm talking, for those that have been business owners, they tend to do better at this, even though there's still blame game with business owners too. But those that have been employees, even those of you that are doctors and people like, you know, people that are doing wage type jobs, you might be making great money, but you tend to chase security rather than freedom. Well, what's the difference? Well, security, for example, security is when you want everything taken care of for you. This is the mentality where you say, hey, I want to get out of the rat race, which by the way is great. Both people in freedom and security want out of the rat race, but with security, they want guaranteed paychecks. They want to make sure those paychecks will always come in. They don't ever have to worry about anything. They want to do it without having to think. Essentially, security, if you want maximum security, go to a maximum security prison, because in a maximum security prison, that's where you got 3 square meals a day. You got TV privileges. You can work out at your gym. You can have a little rec time. You know, you get to read books. You know, you can do, you know, you also live in a prison cell, by the way. You know, it's a pretty crappy place and crappy conditions, but at least everything's taken care of for you. You don't have to think. Your book day is booked and scheduled for you. That is what security is. And I'm telling you, like, you cannot go for security. This is why your 401k will never save you, thinking that your employer is somehow going to match enough with your money that you're going to have enough money to actually become financially free, which you won't. And you won't find security either. By the way, you can never find security and freedom. You'll never have. They're in opposition to each other, right? Because if you want freedom, that requires personal responsibility and control. But guess what? Those that often chase after security get neither. They get neither freedom nor security. They end up becoming imprisoned for the rest of their lives. Guys, I don't want that to happen to you. That's not what I'm here about. And trust me, I've been in places where I've played the blame game. You know, I can go on all kinds of stories and talk about, like, the company I was with before I launched Money Ripples, right? The company I was with during the Great Recession. I mean, the guy that owned that company, I mean, he did some dumb things. You know, I did some dumb things. For example, I was dumb enough to believe that I should cut off my income streams when I went to work with them. I was like, you know what? Doesn't matter. Hey, I love this mission. I know what you guys are about. I'll cut off those income streams. Killing all my passive income, now all of a sudden having to rely more on active income. And what happens is that, of course, we went ahead and focused on real estate investors, which that didn't work out well when all of a sudden they couldn't pay us, right? You know, then all of a sudden my own properties, they started devaluing. So any equity I had locked up in there, I lost. You know, all this stuff is happening. You know, I'm going this spiral. You know, I'm going through all kinds of stuff. I mean, almost everybody went crappy. I mean, even the office expenses I had were ridiculous. They had actually drastically overcharged us for the office expenses. They were making freaking money while we were struggling and starving. And, you know, and my wife at that time, right? I mean, she was a trooper. She had to deal with all that uncertainty, lack of security, and a lack of freedom. We didn't have either. You know, and we lost that when I got rid of some of those options, that cash, those cash flow streams. You know, and you know, I got to tell you, you know, it was tough to go through that. And I can go and I can make all kinds of blame, but you know what? Ultimately, I was the one that made that decision. I was the one that decided to put myself in that position. I was the one that cut off my own income streams. I was the one that went along and went ahead and marketed towards real estate investors who didn't have money by the end of 2007 and into 2008. You know, I can accept all that responsibility. I made those choices. Yeah, I lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, even I would say over $1 million in just losses and things like that. But you know what? Because I finally accepted that responsibility, I did want to be a victim, and I was a victim at times. I was mad and angry. I wanted to just absolutely just, there was times I wanted to quit. But there was times that I remember I had that deep feeling inside of saying, don't give up. So keep going. You know, the reward's around the corner. You know, it'll be just a little while. This is but for a short term. Didn't know short term could be like a year, over a year and a half. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it was short term. And I'll tell you, I've gained way more knowledge and I've made way more money because of the knowledge and experiences I gained by not being a total victim and being a total blame mode in there and figuring out what I can learn from it. I learned not to throw equity into my house like I've taught you guys. I've learned not to try to pay off your house and get your money trapped in there and then you can't get it back out. I've learned why there's certain types of loans that I wouldn't do, right? I've learned why it's so important to have cash flow and income streams, multiple streams of income protecting you no matter what. All these things happened. All that wisdom I gained was through all the misfortune and all the pain that I went through. And that's no different for you. You gain more and more wisdom because you go through some of the nasty stuff or even the stuff that's not even so nasty. It's just a good lesson. Good learning experience. And when you gain that wisdom, you make so much more money. And that, guys, that's the point here, is that you want true freedom. You got to stop playing the blame game. You got to take full responsibility for your actions, full responsibility for your decisions. So then you can take full credit for the reward, for your freedom. Because your freedom is up to you. It's not up to anybody else. I can't give it to you. People might come to me and hey, there's hope. There's a lot of times people are like, I just need some hope. And I can give it to them to some level. You still got to choose that hope. You know, you can try to believe me, and sometimes that's all it takes. You know, is another set of eyes. That's what some people come to me for. They're like, I just need to know if it's even possible. Could I create this? I had a guy come to me just last month, and he's like, I don't know if it's possible. And I said, well, I'll be honest with you. You want to do this in 5 years. It's going to be tough. I mean, it could be happening with good discipline and if things go better than expected, but if it doesn't, then it could take a little longer. It might take a few years more to hit that freedom number you want to get to, which for him was like almost $200,000 a year of passive income. And so I was like, yeah, I mean, 5 years it could happen, but it would require a lot of discipline. But if you enjoy your life now, if you want to slow things down, hey, it could be 10 years, but at least you'll get to enjoy it in the meantime. And I had to be upfront with him because I've learned that sometimes things go well and sometimes things don't go your way. But I've learned that a lot of times things do go better than expected, especially if you choose the right attitude and you come from a place of freedom, not just chasing security. You really, truly own up to your decisions, own up to the good, the bad, and the ugly, and you take it for what it's worth and you make the best of it. No matter what happens, come what may, you love it anyways. By the way, this is why when I tell you to invest in things that you actually like, things that you're actually interested in. Because if you try to invest for things that are just for money, if something goes wrong, you'll know pretty fast whether you like it or not. And so these are the kind of things that help us grow. These are the kind of things that help us create that freedom. So that's what I want with you guys. I want you guys to have true freedom, and that comes from taking personal responsibility. Guys, I hope you make it a wonderful, prosperous week because you chose to make it that way, because you chose that freedom over security. So you go and do so, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.